The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 8, Text Number 37. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on June 7th, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Api Adya
Adya
Na Tvam
Svakrita
Ihita Pravo Jahasasi Svit Suhrida
Anujivina
Yesham Na Cha Anyat
Bhavata
Pada ambujat parayanam
rajasu
yojita
anghasam
apyajya apyajya yasnatvang svakri apyajya nastvang svakrite hitapravo Jihasasi svit srido nujivina Yesham nachanyan bhavata padam bujat Parayanam rajasu yojitam hasam Apyajanastvang sukrite hito prabho Jihasasi svit surido nujivina Yesham nachanyan bhavatapu jambujat Parayanam rajasu yojitam hasam Api
if
Adya
today
na
us
tvam
you
svakrita
self-executed
ihita
all duties
prabho
oh my lord
jihasasi
giving up
svit
possibly
suhrida
intimate friends
anujivina
living at the mercy of
yesham
of whom
na
nor
cha
and
anyat
anyone else
bhavata
your
pada
ambujat
from the lotus feet
parayanam
dependent
rajasu
unto the kings
yojita
engaged in
amhasam
enmity.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today? Though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now with all the kings are at enmity with us? Purport. The Pandavas are most fortunate because with all good luck they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. in the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relation with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him. The material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. But the cruel material nature does not allow us to become independent. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent laws of nature is known as material advancement of experimental knowledge. The whole material world is moving on this false attempt of becoming independent of the laws of nature. Beginning from Ravana, who wanted to prepare a direct staircase to the planets of heaven, down to the present age, they are trying to overcome the laws of nature. They are trying now to approach distant planetary systems by electronic mechanical power. But the highest goal of human civilization is to work hard under the guidance of the Lord and become completely dependent on Him. The highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, but at the same time depend completely on the Lord. The Pandavas were the ideal executors of this standard of civilization. Undoubtedly, they were completely dependent on the goodwill of Lord Sri Krishna, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. They were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activities. Still, they always looked for the mercy of the Lord because they knew that every living being is dependent by constitutional position. The perfection of life is therefore to become dependent on the will of the Lord instead of becoming falsely independent in the material world. And those who try to become falsely independent in the material world, those who try to become falsely independent of the Lord are called anatta, or without any guardian, whereas those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are called sanatta, or those who have someone to protect them. Therefore, we must try to be sanatta, so that we can always be protected from the unfavorable condition of material existence. By the deluding power of the external material nature, we forget that the material condition of life is the most undesirable perplexity. The Bhagavad Gita therefore directs us, 7:19, that after many, many births, when a fortunate person becomes aware of the fact that Vasudeva is all in all, and that the best way of leading one's life is to surrender unto Him completely. That is the sign of a Mahatma. All the members of the Pandava family were Mahatmas in household life. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the head of these Mahatmas, and Queen Kunti Devi was the mother. The lessons of the Bhagavad Gita and all the Puranas, specifically the Bhagavad Purana, are therefore inevitably connected with the history of the Pandava Mahatmas. For them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. Srimati Kunti Devi therefore felt such separation like a thunderbolt. And the whole prayer of the queen is to try to persuade the Lord to stay with them. After the battle of Kurukshetra, although the inimical kings were killed, their sons and grandsons were still there to deal with the Pandavas. It is not only the Pandavas who were put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. And the best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord and thereby overcome all difficulties of material existence.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prajadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyadya Deshatarine.
So Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing how important it is to always feel completely dependent on the Lord. Actually, it is natural to feel that way because we are dependent on the Lord. Are you making your heart beat right now by your own power? Or is Krishna making your heart beat by His power? The air you're breathing, is it manufactured by your Mauritius government? The sunshine is given by the Mauritius government, or that is given by God? We are completely dependent on Krishna at every step. Eko baho nam yovadadati kaman. Everything. So do not feel completely dependent on the Lord. Is simply insanity. It is madness. It is craziness. It is delusion. It is illusion. It is nothing but confusion of a maddened idiot. You understand this point? We are totally dependent on Krishna. Only the craziest fool would think himself independent of God or would deny God's existence. It's like here we are getting the benefit of the sunshine. If I said, there's no such thing as the sun, that's crazy. The sun doesn't exist. Is it? They say God does not exist. They say, actually, they means Dr. Stephen Hawking's. He says that everything comes out of absolutely nothing. And he claims to be a scientist. But what does science mean? It means experiment, observation, and conclusion. So where is that experiment where you can take nothing and get something out of it? Have they ever taken an empty test tube in the laboratory and got something, produced something from that empty test tube? Never been done, you see. You cannot get something out of nothing. It is not possible. But he claims that everything comes out of nothing. And the fools and rascals accept it. because it facilitates their sense gratification. If there's no God, there's nobody to answer to. I can do whatever I want and I don't need to be punished for it. It's like saying, well, there's no malicious government. Only a fool thinks there's a malicious government. So I just do whatever I want. I rob banks, I murder, I rape, whatever I want to do, I just do it, you see. There's no malicious government. But then all of a sudden, there they come. They put you in the handcuffs and they put you in the prison. Now do you believe there's a malicious government? Mr. Rascal, you see? So they say there is no God. We are not dependent on God. But the constables of the Lord, His Justice Department, the Yamadutas will come and they say, you don't believe in God? Well, guess what? Our Master has sent us here to take you away and punish you for all of your sinful activities. But I don't believe in karma. How you can say I have to suffer the karmic reaction? I don't believe in karma. Well, do you believe in the law of gravity? Whether you believe in it or not, the law of gravity will act. So whether you believe it or not, the law of karma will act. Now you have to pay, sir, you see. So we have to, since we're dependent on the Lord by our very nature, why not fully enter into that mood like Kunti Devi is doing, like the Pandava Mahatmas are doing? Why not fully enter into the mood? Why take up some artificial position of being independent, you see? When we know we're dependent, why not live in that consciousness? Why try to deny our dependence of the Lord with some false sense of enjoyment in the material world? It doesn't make any sense. It does not make even one paisa's worth of sense to try to act independently from the Lord, you see. You're not in harmony with your own nature. If you try to act independently of the Lord, you're not in harmony. You're psychologically maladjusted. If you try to act independently from the Lord, you're psychotic, schizophrenic, a madman. If you try to act independently. And that's the fact now. Our leaders are madmen. All over the world, our leaders are madmen. The government leaders, the scientists, the scholars. These people are crazy. They don't know what they're doing. They're leading the entire world into deeper and deeper chaotic conditions. Only in this Krishna consciousness movement do we have proper guidance of Srila Prabhupada and those who are strictly following Srila Prabhupada to bring the proper sanity to this planet. Our mission given to us by Srila Prabhupada is to save the world, beginning with ourselves. Read Prabhupada's books. Follow strictly Prabhupada's instructions. Don't mix in sense gratification with Prabhupada's instructions. Some devotees want to do that. Well, I don't like this instruction. We'll just kind of ignore that one. You know, they want to change Prabhupada's teachings to suit their senses. It doesn't work. You're not going to be happy if you do that. If you want to taste the full nectar of Krishna prema, strictly follow Prabhupada. Is there something horrible about strictly following Srila Prabhupada? It's the sweetest nectar. Following Prabhupada strictly is the sweetest nectar. You don't need to mix in some material ideas, you know, for temporary sense pleasure within Prabhupada's teachings. Just strictly follow Prabhupada. It's all you need to do to be happy. You don't need to mix in sense gratification. Strictly follow Srila Prabhupada and you will taste the sweetest nectar. And what is that nectar? You will be connected with Krishna. You will have the association of Krishna at every minute. Krishna Sangha. If you mix in sense gratification, you'll get your sense gratification, temporary pleasure, but you won't get Krishna. What's the use of temporary sense pleasure if you don't get Krishna? You see, what's the use of it? Strictly follow Srila Prabhupada, feel fully dependent on the Lord, and then you will actually get the, you will feel how the Lord is present with you at every minute. You will feel how you're never separated from Krishna, not even for a second, you see. Krishna is there, you see. The only thing that separates from Krishna is our lust, our anger, our greed, our madness, illusion, and envy. Otherwise, we will feel Krishna. We will see Krishna even. You see. We simply have to get free of these contaminations, become pure bhaktas. You understand? Become pure bhaktas. Not dancing dogs, to dancing to the beat of Durga Devi's drum. There's already enough dancing dogs in this material world. Don't be a dancing dog. You become pure bhakti, you see. That is the mission, that's the message of Prabhupada. He ordered me. Now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. Am I losing something by surrendering to that order? Well, Prabhupada, I'd like some sense gratification. Can't I just forget about becoming a pure devotee for a while and enjoy my senses? Would that be intelligent? That'd be the most stupid thing you could ever do, you see. Well, Prabhupada, I don't really want to fully, I don't want to purely follow you yet. Can I just kind of mess around with Maya for a while, have a few kicks? Yeah, you'll get kicks, all right. Material world, a kick means some, you know, some cheap sense gratificatory pleasure. But we know what kick really means. The kicks of Maya means kick in the face, rascal. You see? Yeah, you'll get your kicks, all right. If you try to get your kicks in the material world, you'll get them, all right. Maya's kicks. You see? So we have to learn from these Pandava Mahatmas. We have to learn from this Kunti Devi Mahatma. How to be fully dependent on Krishna, giving up any lingering desires for material sense gratification, and fully absorb ourselves in serving Krishna. And then we'll taste the sweetest nectar at every minute. And every minute will be the sweeter than the sweetest honey. When you chant Krishna's name, it'll be like Krishna is right there. Krishna. You will feel how Krishna is present. Krishna. You will feel His presence. You see? When you have Krishna, are you missing anything? When you have Krishna, are you bereft of anything? No, when you have Krishna, you have everything. Because Krishna is the source of everything. When you have Krishna, you have everything. So now I can answer some questions. Can you please tell us some ways we can serve the devotees better? Don't think what you can get out of the devotees, think what you can give to the devotees. What are the main qualities of a Vaishnava leader? He is strictly following Srila Prabhupada. That's the main thing. Strictly following Prabhupada, not mixing in any sense gratification. Three, why is there always bewilderment among the general mass that Krishna is the Supreme Lord? Because they don't accept the authority of the spiritual master and the scriptures. That's why. They're puffed up. Please elaborate on politicians and spiritual leaders of all religions. What can I say? Shvabhidra ushtara karai sangshtitak parishak pushu na jatta karma pato peta jatinam gadagrajaha. Those men are who do not listen, those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses do not listen to the, they listen to those who are, do not accept the authority of Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So these leaders, they're simply in the category of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. And those who follow them, they are little dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Bhagavatam philosophy. Can we say that there are more than one religion? No, you can say anything you want. A goat can eat anything and a madman can say anything, but it doesn't mean it's true. I can say there's 10 million apples sitting in this room right now. Is it true? I don't see one apple in this room. You can say anything. You can say there are many religions, but actually religion is one. Man has invented religions. It's all politics, actually. It's simply politics. These religions is simply a manifestation of desire of polluted, politically minded people wanting to lord it over other people. That's all it is. Pure religion is one, to become a pure lover of God. That's it. Nothing else. Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the fact that we should feel completely dependent on Krishna. If I pray to him for my basic needs, will it be against the principles of pure devotional service? Of course it'll be against the principles of pure devotional service. It means you have no conception of what is God and what is your relationship with God. Did you ask your parents to feed you every day and you're growing up in your house? Mommy and Dad, will you feed me today? Why not? Because you knew they're going to take care of you. If you're asking Krishna for your basic needs, it means you don't even trust him. It means you trust him less than you trusted your own parents. What kind of nonsense is that? You trusted you never asked your parents if they would supply your needs. You trusted they would do that, and now you want to ask God to supply your needs? That means you have more faith in your parents than you do in God. It doesn't make any sense. Ananyaschintayanto mangyajana prayapasate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogache mam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve whatever they have and I provide whatever they're lacking. So if you're thinking you have to ask Krishna for your necessities, it means you're not feeling fully dependent on him. You're feeling dependent on your own strength. There are many examples of foolish people like this. One lady, she was walking in the forest. She had this bundle of sticks on her shoulder. And it became very heavy. She finally dropped it and she said, "Krishna, Krishna." And Krishna actually appeared to her mercifully, even though she was a conditioned soul. He said, "Yes, what can I do to help you?" He said, "Can you put these sticks back on my shoulder?" Is he? Instead of saying, "Please bless me with pure bhakti," she wants the sticks back on her shoulder. So why are you praying to have the sticks on your shoulder? You're approaching God and saying, "Well, my dear Lord, you know, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari." You see? What kind of foolishness is this? I made this point in Malaysia in one lecture, and one Indian gentleman became very offended. He wrote me an email. He says, "I sing that song to my kids every night to put them to sleep, and you're making fun of that song." He was very angry with me. Very angry. And I said, then with the help of my wife who knows Hindi, I said, "Just see these lines. They're praying for material things. This is not bhakti." He said, "Actually, you're right." So now he switched over. He's chanting 16 rounds a day. He gave up that song. You see. He's becoming a disciple now. So, you know, we have to... I mean, this is the way we're trained. I'm not picking on Hindus. As a Christian boy, my parents trained me that way. They said, "Little Stevie," that was my name. "Little Stevie, what do you want for Christmas?" "Well, Daddy and Mommy, I like a pair of cowboy boots." So Mother, every night she would say, "Little Stevie, did you pray to God for your cowboy boots?" So every night I said, "Dear God, please give me a pair of cowboy boots for Christmas." And sure enough, on Christmas Day, what was under the tree but a pair of cowboy boots from poor slaughtered cow, you see? And I was trained that this is how you approach God. He gets you whatever you want. You ask him for whatever you want, he gives it to you. If you want a You want, you know, whatever you want. That's how everyone's trained. That's how the Hindus are trained. Christians, Jews, Muslims, we're all guilty of the same greedy, selfish approach to God. This is not religion. This is love of cowboy boots, a love of, you know, daily chapati. The Christians say, "Dear God, please give us our daily bread." Dear God, please give me my daily chapatis. What kind of nonsense is this? You see, this is not love of God, it's love of chapatis. It's stupid, because if you surrender to Krishna, he'll give you unlimited things. Give you unlimited facility. If you surrender fully to Krishna, he'll give you the whole world to engage in his service. What is the difficulty? Krishna has no shortage of facility to give you unlimited money, unlimited power, unlimited fame, whatever you may need to serve his mission. He'll give you everything. Just fully absorb yourself in serving the mission of Krishna, and everything you need will come. It'll just come to you. You don't have to worry about it. But if you're not thinking of serving his mission, you're only thinking of serving your tongue, then you will struggle and you'll say, "Oh, dear God, please give me my daily rice and dal." You see? So please give up this stupid mentality of praying to God to fulfill your material necessities. Give it up. It's mundane. It's stupid. It doesn't work. It's impractical. You're only going to get it according to your karma anyway. But if you surrender to Krishna, you can get 10 million times more than you karmically deserved. In addition to following the regulated principles and chanting a minimum 16 rounds, what a disciple should do and not do to please the spiritual master. You have to avoid the 10 offenses also. Simply chanting 16 rounds is not enough. You have to avoid the 10 namaparadas as well, because otherwise you go on chanting for if you commit the namaparadas, you go on chanting for millions and millions of lifetimes and stay in this material world. You have to give up the namaparadas also. And you have to serve the Vaishnavas with love. Serve the Guru with love. Serve the Vaishnavas with love. Can a devotee break the rules and regulations just for the sake of making non-devotees chant the holy names? For example, accepting foods cooked from non-devotees. Well, if I come to your house and I eat your food, will that inspire you to... Let's give me... Actually, now sometimes Prabhupada actually did such things. In the early days of India, there was no temples, we had no facilities, but we had the life membership program. And Prabhupada would go with the disciples and eat in the house of non-devotees who were agreeing to become life members of ISKCON. And it worked very effectively. So there is such a thing sometimes of eating... There are such examples in our ISKCON history. You have to see if it's really effective, and if you're just going there eating and they're not really advancing in any way, then it's a waste. You shouldn't do it. But if you can, you can go to their home and show them how to offer the food to Krishna. We can have a program at your home tonight, and you can cook. We'll show you how to cook without onions and garlic, and we'll show you how to offer the food, you see? And that way you're engaging him in Krishna's service, and in such a situation it's okay. You're making him a devotee, you see? But just to go eat, you know, it's like that story of... There was one Brahmin, he was hungry. So he went to eat with a Muslim. And the Muslim fed him a little bit. He said, "Can I have a little more? I haven't fully satisfied." He said, "That's all you're going to get." He gave him a little tiny bit of food. And so the Brahman asked, "Will you give me a little more? You know, my belly isn't filled up." And he said, "That's all you're going to get." So the Brahman was lamenting, "I lost my caste, and still my belly is not filled up." You see. So don't fall into that mistake of wanting to go and eat in someone's house to enjoy their food. If you go for preaching, you see, and not for eating, then you can, you know, Krishna will give you the potency. You can engage them in Krishna's service, teach them how to offer the prasadam, set up a little altar, make them devotees, then it's okay. How can ISKCON Krishna devotees stop some of the barbaric acts we are seeing in this world, such as stoning a woman to death because of disobedience to their parents? Well, the only thing we can do is really take over the world, to be honest with you. If you want to stop all the atrocities, you have to take over the world. Okay? Let's do it. Let's take over the world for Prabhupada. Let's convince these people only to take guidance from Krishna-conscious people. You see, we have to convince the general population that only Krishna-conscious people are qualified to lead this planet. Therefore, we have to distribute books. But it's tons and tons of books, like dropping bombs in the wartime. You see, Prabhupada. Harinam, book distribution. We have to make people Krishna conscious. So they will demand, when they go to the voting station, they'll say, "Well, who are the Hare Krishna candidates on this ballot today? If you're not Hare Krishna, forget it. I only vote Hare Krishna." That's what we have to do. We have to educate the people so they only vote Hare Krishna. That's the only way you're going to stop the atrocities, I guarantee you right now. You'll never stop it by, you know, voting for another mundane politician. It won't work. Even if they have some piety, they don't have the power to do anything, you see. Until we can actually bring powerful leaders like Maharaj Parikshit and Maharaj Yudhishthira, this planet will continue to rot with all kinds of barbaric activities. This is just one example. I also saw this one in the news. You can't do it by legislation. I mean, the police were standing there watching this happen. The police didn't even interfere. The police were watching them stone their daughter to death because she married of her own choice instead of taking an arranged marriage. They stoned her to death. Her own father publicly stoned her to death when the police didn't even interfere with it. You see? Muslims. You see? So this is just one example. There's all kinds of barbaric acts going on constantly because we don't have proper God-conscious leaders on this planet. The leaders are themselves rascals. We need to have Krishna, we need to have pure devotees who are leading this planet. So we have to become pure devotees ourselves and teach other people how to become pure devotees, and then if we get enough pure devotees, we can demand, we only want pure devotee leaders on this planet from now on. No more materialists running the planet. We all know your love for Vishnu Janaswami. Last week was his appearance day. What was your appreciation for him? Why was? Why not? What is? He saved me, what can I say? I'm very indebted to him. What a greater appreciation. This person saved me. He convinced me to become a disciple of Prabhupada. How much I can't even begin to understand how much I'm indebted to Vishnu Janaswami. I can't even begin to understand. The depth of my debt to him is unlimited. If I surrender to Krishna in the mood of getting more than my karma deserves, the neophyte stage, where spiritual and material desires are mixed, how can I overcome this dangerous mixture? Krishna can also give you less than your karmically deserved. That's the other side of it. Let's say you were destined to be a multi-billionaire by your karma. But it wasn't favorable for your Krishna consciousness, so Krishna makes you a pauper, even though you deserve to be a multi-billionaire by your karma. It can go the other way too. You could be karmically destined to be a pauper, but if you become a pure devotee, Krishna can make you a multi-billionaire for spreading his movement all over the world. Or he can go either way. So you guys got to take your chances. I'd rather take my chances with Krishna than with my karma any day of the week. Just like, it's kind of like, you know, what's his name? Duryodhana and Arjuna. They had a choice. One gets Krishna, the other gets Krishna's army. You see, going with your karma is like going with Krishna's army, like Duryodhana, and going with Krishna is like Arjuna. I'll go with Krishna because it doesn't matter, actually, whether I'm a billionaire or a beggar in the street, it doesn't really matter, ultimately. If you think it matters, there's something that matters with you. It really doesn't matter if I become a multi-billionaire or I'm a pauper in the street. The only thing that matters is I have Krishna. So, if you surrender to Krishna with the mood of getting more karma than your karma, you're not surrendering to Krishna. Let me read again. If I surrender to Krishna in the mood of getting more than my karma deserves, you are not surrendering to Krishna. That is not surrendering to Krishna. That's you're trying to get something out of Krishna. You're taking Krishna as your order supplier. You're not surrendering to Krishna. You think Krishna is so foolish? He can't see, so naive, he can't see through your motives? Krishna can immediately see, just see this rascal. He's coming to me thinking he can get more than his karma deserves, therefore I'll give him less than his karma deserves. To teach him a lesson. I'll give him less. I'll take away everything from him. You see, to learn and teach him humility and surrender. Okay? That's the end of the questions, unless there's some more questions. We'll stop here, and we thank you all very much. So now let's revolutionize our hearts, revolutionize this planet, to put an end to all the barbaric atrocities going on everywhere, all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His great Sangha Shandasa Adhikari Prabhu ki jai.